Towards the beginning of last year, I started thinking about what I was going to do for Advent at the beginning of this past year. And I was thinking about different things, and I was reading some stuff, and the idea came to me of the theme of trees. And one of the most iconic symbols of the Christmas season is the Christmas tree. The origin of the Christmas tree dates back to the 16th century, and even before Martin Luther placed candles on the tree as part of the tradition, Christians were already using trees in their Christmas celebrations. I love Christmas trees. I personally do not do a whole lot for Christmas. We are not a gifts family in my house. We never really have been, but I love having a tree. I love Christmas trees. And for me, I have ornaments that have personal significance, as I'm sure that many of you do. Things that were given to you or you were bought at a particular occasion that when you take it out and you put it on the tree reminds you of that person or that event. I was a school teacher back in the day, a long time ago, so I know that the trend was coffee mugs and chocolate. Neither of which, you know, you get so many coffee mugs and you don't want them anymore. And for me, I'm very particular about my chocolate. It has to be dark, good chocolate. It can't just be whatever. So those weren't things I wanted. So when they said, oh, what can we? I said, Christmas ornaments. Christmas ornaments are great. So I pull out these and my kids who are now 33, and I'm forgetting that, but I remember when they were 12 and 13. So I put these trees on my ornaments on the tree. And it's a lot of fun to remember. And then I have some, we were each given some from my parents that we had made when we were kids. And so putting those decorations on the trees are fun. But I have to say that, and you know, it was sad for me because I went 5 years without a Christmas tree. My Decembers were just so busy between church obligations and singing engagements and different things that I didn't have any weekends. And so I went 5 years without a tree. And the last year I finally had a tree again. And I'm partial to real trees. I like the smell. That's part of it. I have to confess, I'm also an Advent purist. So I don't have any Christmas in my house right now. I only have my Advent wreath. And because as I've gotten older, the season of Advent has become more and more important to me. This waiting and praying for the return of Christ. And I bought my Advent wreath the first year that I served in Japan because over in Japan, Advent and Christmas are not a big deal. There's no holiday for Christmas and it's just not celebrated. And so I needed something and that has been my thing. I've only went 1 year without an Advent wreath. I've always had my Advent wreath. So I put up my Christmas tree the third week of Christmas, that rose candle week. That's when my tree goes up. And then I leave my tree up until the day after Epiphany. So that's Christmas, which is still a month, by the way. So I still get a whole month's worth of enjoyment out of my Christmas tree. And we know that not just Christians used trees in celebrations. We know that in many cultures, evergreen boughs had religious significance to symbolize life and fertility and renewed life and hope. They've been used in Egyptian culture and Roman culture and Viking culture. And trees play a significant role in the Bible as well. So this Advent season, we'll be looking at trees as symbols of our faith. And as you heard in the Advent wreath lighting this morning, we lit today the candle of hope. So this morning we're going to look at the tree of life as a symbol of hope. Our certain hope, not something that we just want to happen, but something that has already been planned for us and offered to us. Now, most of us are quite familiar with the first three chapters in Genesis, but how often do we overlook that God placed two very special trees in the Garden of Eden. Not just the one that we are going to hear about again next week, but in addition to that one tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God planted the tree of life. We're told that it was in the middle of the garden, just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The trees probably weren't that far apart, but I saw a picture, just an illustration, somebody's concept of the Garden of Eden that I had not thought about before as I was listening to some things. And I know the terrain over in that part of the world. I don't think the Garden of Eden is anywhere now because of the way things have moved around, but we know the Tigris and Euphrates are in Iraq, and the other two rivers are way down south, so somewhere in there. And that region has hills. It's not flat. So this particular artist, as they were drawing what the Garden of Eden might have looked like, put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil down in the middle at the bottom of a hill on which the tree of life was at the top of the hill. And I thought, oh, isn't that interesting? So we don't really know, but these trees weren't that far apart. They might have been side by side. We don't know what Adam and Eve thought of that tree. And just like the rest of the garden, Adam was called to cultivate it. But they never chose to eat of that tree. God never said, you can't eat of the tree of life. It was always there for them to have any time they wanted. They were never forbidden to eat from it. And yet they didn't choose that gift. In Revelation, we learn more about this tree. We learn that it bears a different kind of fruit each month. How exciting is that? How interesting would it be to go back and see, let's see what's on the tree this time. That tree, one tree, would have provided such nourishment and such joy. They could have gone to that tree and eaten and lived forever in sweet fellowship with God. Which is precisely how Jesus defines eternal life in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The placing of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden shows that it was always God's plan from the beginning to live in relationship with his people. To give them eternal life, to have sweet fellowship, that they would know God, and God would know them. It was not something that was forced upon people, though it's available to anyone. It is there to be received. Eternal life is there to be received. Adam and Eve didn't take hold of it, at least not then. Instead, they were obsessed with the one thing that they weren't supposed to have. How often do we do that? How often do we ignore all the good gifts that God wants to give us and instead go after the thing that we know that God doesn't want us to have? It was God's plan from the beginning to give eternal life to people. So then why does God bar the way to the tree of life after casting Adam and Eve out of the garden? Well, if Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of life at that point, they would have been carrying all kinds of things into their eternal life that we want to be rid of someday. Guilt and hurt and shame and blame and pain. They would be bringing evil into eternity. In our Revelation passage, when we see the tree of life again, we read in verse 3, and there shall be no longer any curse. So all that punishment that they received, all the curses that have been passed down to us will be gone. And the new heaven and the new earth is no more. Our relationship with God and each other will be perfect. And we read that the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. All wrongs will be put to right, and everything will be wonderful. Adam and Eve missed their opportunity to eat of the tree of life, but that didn't mean that all hope was lost. And us just seeing that tree again in Revelation tells us that our hope is sure. Adam and Eve had to wait for redemption, which we'll see next week. But the tree continued to exist, and it is a sure sign of our hope. God didn't leave Adam and Eve without hope for eternal life either, even though they couldn't grasp hold of it then at that way. And God does not leave us without hope for eternal life either. Adam and Eve couldn't gain eternal life after their rebellion by eating from the tree because they needed first to have transformation in their lives. They needed redemption. And next week we'll look more deeply at the promise of redemption that they received. So even though they were cast out, they were not left without hope. Adam and Eve had to put their hope for eternal life in something else. Someone else, someone who was yet to come. Our hope for eternal life is in the one who has already come, Jesus, our Savior. Jesus died and rose for everyone, and he called himself the life. Jesus also calls himself the true vine. Not a tree exactly, but the idea is that he is the source of life. And that's present in that metaphor. We are called to remain in him, abide in him as those branches to receive the life that he gives, to continue in the life that he gives. But just as Adam and Eve weren't forced to eat of the tree of life, it was always there available to them, they could have had it. We are invited to choose Jesus. He's there, he's paid the price. He's made eternal life available to anyone who wants to receive it, but Jesus must be received. He's always waiting for children to come to him. Eternal life is our sure hope, symbolized by this tree of life. During the season of Advent, we look forward to Christ's return. Seeing this image of the tree in the new heavens and in the new earth gives us a glimpse of why we can look forward to the return of Christ, to be rid of all the stuff that weighs us down, to be rid of all the nastiness and all the pain and all the sorrow and all the guilt and the shame and all the evil. Eternal life is God's gift to us. It was God's intention from the very, very, very beginning. Is it something that you can claim that you have? Is it something that you want? Eternal life is yours for the receiving, simply by receiving Jesus. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life." And earlier in Revelation, it tells us that our robes are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. It is Jesus' blood that cleanses us. God offers eternal life to you through Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive the life by receiving Jesus, for he is the life. Trust in him and believe in him. Brothers and sisters, today on the Sunday of Hope, remember that your hope is eternal life. God's plan from the beginning to have wonderful, sweet fellowship with you, that you would know him and that he would know you fully. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of eternal life, this wonderful gift that you offered from the very beginning, showing us in a tree that it was your plan, and showing us again by that same tree that it is a sure hope. That it's not something imaginary, that it's not something that we can just want, but it's something that can be ours. And you made the way through sending the one who is the life, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Our hymn is Away in a Manger.